This meeting is being recorded. We have a proposed agenda for today of the following. After apologies and updated statements of interest, we have a recap and review of action items from the Johannesburg meeting, updates from our subtopic team, we have an SSR 1 implementation briefing on the agenda relating to the compliance recommendation from SSR 1. And finally, James, if he's able to join us, will be taking us through a brief Trello demonstration. This is a shared workspace effort that he volunteered to spearhead for us. And then all other business. Are there any suggested additions or changes to the agenda? And before I take any input, I'd like to remind people to mute their speakers if they're not speaking. Any changes to the agenda? Since we have the staff already on the line from the compliance department to address that recommendation, I'd like to suggest that we take that item first and let the staff address that topic, respond to any questions, and then staff can drop off and we can address the rest of our agenda. But first, let's do a call for any updates to statements of interest and any additional apologies or absences beyond what staff's already noted. Anyone? Okay. Seeing none, then we're going to go to the SSR 1 implementation briefing by compliance staff. If Jennifer or Yvette could jump forward to that slide. And Maggie, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Denise. This is Maggie Sarad from ICANN Contractual Compliance. I have joined this call to provide you a brief update on the SSR 1 recommendation 10 as it relates to contractual compliance. As the team, SSR 2 review team already knows and is aware of, all recommendations have been fully implemented. So what I'd like to do is take just a few minutes to share with you a summary of the implementation. And if it's okay, Denise, maybe then open it up for any further questions you guys might have for me or thoughts and ideas. So I am now on slide three. Thank you. I'm now on slide three. This slide really summarizes the other slides that follow. I just found it hard to believe when I was pulling up the summary for in preparation for today. Wow, in 2012, seems like just yesterday when this whole effort began. But the final report was issued in 20th June of 2012, where Recommendation 10 clearly suggested that ICANN as an organization should continue its effort to step up compliance enforcement and provide adequate resources. I don't know how many of the participants on the call remember the status of contractual compliance in 2012. I joined in April of 2011. I was tasked with pulling forward this effort, and I've really had an amazing journey doing so. After completing a full assessment of the state of the compliance department, I had put forward a three-year strategic plan. I had socialized the plan across the entire community, all the stakeholders, to make sure I am capturing their thoughts and inputs, of course, within the scope of the contractual compliance department. and we began our journey to implement it. And soon after, is the recommendation came, which was totally in support and totally aligned with what the efforts we were working on. So since then, and the second sentence here in the recommendation, you guys, I mean, I'm not sure how many of you were on the SSR1 team, but the second sentence just really hits hard to the core of the efforts we've completed, is implement a structured process, monitoring activities, and enforcement. So back in the early days, we had several fragmented systems, as you guys were made aware of that, yeah, thus the recommendation. So we have really centralized all these fragmented tools. We have established a structured approach. And why do we do that? I mean, the core of all these activities, it's true to enforce the contract, but compliance receives on average 4,000 to 6,000, manages 4,000 to 6,000 complaints a month. So it's really important to have the right experience when we're going through that, whether somebody's coming to us from the external world or internally bringing forward compliance issues. So by having one compliance approach and process, a consolidated system that's been migrated to ICANN.org, where people can have access to it from the main landing page, we've also built in a lot of learn more. Learn more, think of those, and frequently ask questions on common topics. At a minimum, we provide this in 6 languages. In some of the areas, we've even gone to 8 languages. We've also, at the closure of any complaint, every complaint we receive, we implemented a pulse survey. We have been in the past reporting on the pulse survey only at the ICANN meetings. But today we are working towards finalizing the pulse survey and bringing it forward in a more structured format and reporting to add to the data that we currently report on. A big effort we focused on is improving and increased community outreach. When we say community, it's everybody in the community, not just registrants or constituencies or ICANN meetings, it's contracted parties, is any topic that we see that is relevant to increasing awareness and knowledge in compliance, we try to do that. We did that through different ways, whether it's the video, the infographic, again, and the Learn More. We have defined and implemented a very robust compliance metrics and reporting system. On a monthly basis, we publish what we call operating metrics and SLAs that we report on to the community. We also have currently a rolling 13-month metrics that we have built these reports on. What we've learned and keep hearing from the community recently is that the metrics now, they want us to take it to the next level of granularity. For those of you who are familiar with the CCT review team, and if you read the report, there is now a need to take the level of data to the next level of granularity, and the team is working on that. A critical element to compliance is a strong, defined audit program, which we completed and launched our first round in towards the end of 2012. The audit program has become a structured approach and almost what we want to say a predictable function for compliance, where we try to conduct those like at least 2 audits a year for registrars and 2 for registries. Of course, the scope may run into the next year. It depends on the complexity and the scope of the audit. A big area that was in high demand at the time in 2012 is the bulk complaint submission, which consists of allowing the ability to file multiple WHOIS inaccuracy complaints within one submission, because the complaint system today only accepts 1 complaint at a time. And the need for that was to kind of the focused effort on WHOIS inaccuracy. So that system was put in place and is still in place and available. An effort that we tried to launch is how can we sustain that once a WHOIS inaccuracy has been identified and corrected, how can we come back and check that it's still valid? We built what we call a WHOIS inaccuracy quality review which allows us the ability to come back after the fact and sample some of those who is inaccurate complaints to see if they've changed statuses, if they're no longer suspended or something has changed. We go back to the registrar and say, just show us what happened and why is this now not suspended, or, you know, it depends on the case we're trying to review. As far as a structured approach to enforcement and proactive monitoring, it ties to the first bullet that we have on the top of the slide. Having a structured approach to contractual compliance not only brings predictability and common understanding within the ICANN community, but also allows us the ability to report consistently and provide updates to the community on that. The proactive monitoring aspect of it is also an area where we focus a lot of time on, and it varies from system real-time proactive monitoring to what we call just human proactive monitoring based on blogs or articles or abuse reports or different things that is available through social media. The main state we are in now, I want to share with the team, is that we are now focused on what we call continuous improvement, because the foundation has been established. So now is, what do we hear from the community? What are the opportunities to improve in the process, in the reporting, in the communication, in the activities? And that's what we work on as we go. A bullet I don't have in here that I also want to bring to your attention is, we are very actively involved in the policy efforts and working group. The policy team works very closely with us on the initiation of ideas. They come to us soliciting for data and input, and we do a full circle with them. After a policy has been implemented, they come back to measure their policy based on the issues that they were trying to address. And we work similarly with the working groups. The next few slides, I just provide you with links to the different areas. So when we talk about the learn more, if you link to this place here, complaints, it will give you the landing page. I'm afraid to link from Adobe. I don't know if that's going to mess up the Adobe room or not. But from that page, you will see the learn more. And again, we try to provide as much information in English and in multiple languages, not contract languages, but in a simplified English language while tying it to the contract, in an effort to enhance the awareness and increase the knowledge of the team or whoever's coming to this website. The bulk quiz inaccuracy, again, this slide here also provides a link to share with you where it is. It is, as I mentioned earlier, it's granted by request only, because it is a much more focused effort where we require authentication, specific testing, and what we call a QA and test environment before access is given to submit to the production platform. Because we want to ensure that the data is coming through properly and the interface is working and the user has been authenticated and is working within the realm of the scope of the compliance and the contract. The Who Is Quality Review, I spoke to it earlier also. It's an effort where we sample and we report on it in our monthly updates if activities have taken place. And we talk to it much more intensely at ICANN meetings when we have FaceTime with the community. The audit program, again, this is a page that contains a lot of information. For example, on this page, we keep augmenting the information we put in there based on information we receive or questions we receive from the community. And Denise, being part of the BC community stakeholders, for example, when the BC asked specific questions about the audit methodology and timeline, I went immediately and updated the page with my team to make sure that by providing you the answer, also we have been transparent in providing it to the entire community. So any question that comes our way or idea, we try to step back and see what is the benefit of that to the community. Because if one stakeholder has question about it, I'm sure many others might have some questions or thoughts about it. So we try to be proactive in taking and hearing what's being asked of us and try to do it. Metrics and outreach can be found here. We have a special page where we publish all the enforcement notices, and we keep it up to date. But we also have the metrics reporting. As I said in the beginning, the metrics reporting we have this semester, we are very focused on how do we bring the granularity to the data, and we will be providing updates in our quarterly newsletter about the changes that are coming. And so hopefully that's going to fit the need of the community based on the different requests and the working groups. This here speaks to the compliance process, the enforcement updates, and some of the proactive monitoring examples that exist today for compliance. I've also added this last slide because I'm sure somebody might have an idea or a thought. If you want to reach out to compliance or you have some questions or follow-ups or ideas, please email it to compliance@icann.org with the subject briefing session, and that email will be forwarded to me so we can follow up with you if it's a question or an idea. With this, Denise, I'd like to turn it back to you. If there are specific questions on Recommendation 10, I'm happy to address.
Thank you, Maggie. We'll take a cue, and I'll start off the questions. The security review team attended the DNS symposium in Madrid in March, I believe it was, April. And one of the presentations was on service level agreements, and in particular, they noted that 32 out of the 37 RSPs had failures. Could you speak to compliance's role in auditing and ensuring compliance with that aspect of the registry contracts?
Sure. So if I may restate the question, the question here is relating to the RSP failures that were reported in the presentation at the DNS symposium in Madrid. I went back to slide 9. The last bullet on slide 9 speaks to real-time automated monitoring system. This is a system that has been put in place by technical services at ICANN. And I don't know the technology behind this, but I can speak to the handshake. This goes beyond my technical skills in this aspect. But part of that real-time automated monitoring system is a system that monitors the DNS infrastructure. And when there is an observed, a noted SLA failure, based on the SLA requirement and that specification, it may or may not, it depends if it's reached the threshold, it will trigger a interface or a notification to the compliance ticketing system. And based on that notification, we have compliance efforts that kind of start. The first focus is to let them know, hey, we are aware of this, but the first and most important focus is to allow the RSPs or the registries to get the issue addressed. That's the first focus, is making sure that everything's back on track and operating. Then we follow up with technical services because they are in contact with the RSP and the registry operator. We obtain the additional data, whatever the reason is, or the report, and we work directly with the registry operator to ask them, for example, a question might be, we acknowledge that the SLA is, you know, based on the SLA or this outage, it's back to normal. What was the issue? what have you done to correct it? And it could be based on the issue is, what have you done to ensure that it does not repeat itself? So it's on a case by case, but we do have that touch point. But the first focus in that is really with the technical services and getting everything on track. And then we jump in and work with them and review that. Did I answer your question?
I think, yes, certainly, in part. It's good to know about the process. I think 32 out of 37 failures was certainly much, much higher than I expected, and it, the GDD staff in the room also indicated that that was not a figure that they were anticipating either. Can you speak to the whether there's been subsequently a change in that failure level, or have you identified some systemic problem that's at the root of these failures? So provide any additional insight into this issue.
So, Denise, I don't have the information memorized.
Sure.
I can tell you we have not breached for this failure. So that's usually an indication of that it's got resolved or addressed. But if I may, if it's all right with you, can I take that question and get back to you for more specificity on what type of failure it was? Or was that provided to you at the session? I was not the person, so I don't recall that presentation. I was not made aware of that.
Well, yeah. It was a very jam-packed agenda. There wasn't a great deal of time for discussion, but and please, I should have started with this. Please feel free to follow up on email with any answers to any questions that people raise. Or any additional information that you want to provide the team. Please don't feel like we're putting you on the spot. I'm just throwing
Thank
questions
you.
Over the
Thank
wall.
You.
So you certainly feel free to follow up later as well. It would be good to get some more additional information about the subsequent performance on the RFPs and the nature of the almost wholesale failures that were reported. That would be useful for the team.
Do you have a reference of the time frame or who presented this data, or is that something you can share with me so I can take that and kind of review where it's referring to?
It's on the ICANN website under the DNS Symposium webpage. All of the presentations and presenters are posted there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you. I will follow up on that one, Denise. But if I may address the RSP providers briefly, one of the audit efforts we did last year is what I call a low-hanging fruit. We know the environment has become more dependent on RSP providers. So we obtained the list of the RSP providers in our environment, and we launched two rounds of audits where we selected registered TLDs that were being serviced by the RSPs on the list. And our goal there is if we can ensure by testing through the different test cases and audit review if they are in compliance, by default, we are much more confident that RSP has applied and is working through what we call the contractual obligations to provide those services. So we did complete all RSP reviews via the different TLDs, and they were done very well and completed successfully. But I will follow up. I will look up on the ICANN.org, the presentation, and confirm and answer your questions regarding why 32 out of 37 and what happened since.
Great. Thank you. Do we have other members have questions for Maggie? a request for additional information relating to recommendation 10. I have an additional question. You mentioned the updated bulk reporting. Do you have stats available on the use of that since it was established?
I'm sorry, you cut off, Denise. Do I have stats on bulk?
The use of bulk. Yeah, the bulk submission. So mentioned the new bulk who is inaccuracy submission.
Yeah.
Do you have statistics available on the use of that?
And when you say the use of that, it's like how many users have access?
Has anyone used it?
Yes, we have basic
usage statistics.
Yes, we have that. I can answer you here, and I'll also look. We've provided some information on that in the past. I can also send that information to you via email if you would like. But to answer you on the phone here, we have about 8 or 10 users, and the submission varies. It's up to them. But on the monthly dashboards that we publish, if there has been use by the public submission, by the bulk submitters, we provide that data in the dashboard. So I was looking at our report for this month. We're getting ready to publish it. I think we already had some bulk submissions come through. So we do publish the use.
Great.
And the number of tickets we receive via that.
Great. So when you have a chance, if you could just send the number since it was, created in 2013, that would be great. And then we have some questions posted in the chat. Mr. Matagoro asks, to what extent CCTLDs are bound with contractual compliance, and is there any specific KPI relating to that?
And Anna answered it properly. Sorry, Mr. Matagoro. The ICANN contractual compliance scope is only focused on the GTLDs. CCTLDs are not in scope for us.
And then, Maggie, to the extent that some have memorandums of understanding, are those types of agreements with ICANN? Is there any monitoring or assessment of compliance, both by the CCTLD and by ICANN, to those agreements?
I think your question, Denise, is larger than compliance. I can only speak to contractual compliance, and we do not have anything in there. But ICANN as an organization, I think maybe Yvette or Nigar can follow up internally to provide you, to follow up with the ICANN organization if we have any other scope in there.
Great. Thanks. And then, of course, Mr. Matagoro should feel free to email additional if there's additional questions or a need for information on that as well. Are there any other questions by members? If not, I have one final question. And thank you for providing these slides as well. We'll be going over them in greater detail. I think subtopic group, and we may have some additional follow-up questions. Recently, there was, I think, an article in the press regarding the, failure levels in audits conducted by compliance. I'm sure this isn't the first question you've received from that. Would you like to address address that issue?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I think, Denise, I had that on my mind. That's really your first question to me. So You are referring to the article by Kevin Murphy. And
yes.
This is in relation to the registrar audit round that just concluded, I think, last month. And I encourage the SSR team to please review the audit report that's already published. What Kevin did, he focused on one area only. The audit methodology has several milestones. The first milestone, and I'm not talking about the phases, I'm talking of milestones, is when we do our initial review, when compliance reviews the responses, the documentation provided, and everything else, we pull together what we think is initial findings. And initial findings could be something as simple as an abuse contact or is not published or visible when we were testing their website posting obligations. Another initial finding could be while reviewing a registration agreement, we noticed there's one provision missing in the agreement. So we note those as initial findings. And what we have learned is once an initial finding report, it's like a preliminary report giving to the contracted party, they get back to us and they either tell us, well, yeah, it's published at this link or something. Or it could be, yes, this is definitely a deficiency and we will work on it. Or it could be something where something more serious, for example, for renewals, they're not sending renewal notices to the based on the policy, and they may have to launch or update their system to put it to the frequency based on the policy. So an initial finding, it's while it is a non-compliance, it is not truly yet in the breach aspect because but the audit is done to avoid future issues. So we proactively identify those issues and give them the opportunity, the contracted party, the opportunity to correct them or to clarify if we missed something, where it is or misunderstood something. So the end result should be in the final statistics, the final report. It is not abnormal to have 100% initial findings. So the environment can also is changing so much. We've noticed some of our initial findings are due to maybe the consolidations and of different different contracted parties. It causes some opportunities for improvement. But the failure level, as reported in Kevin's article, did stir a lot of dissatisfaction. It depends what side you're coming at it. But it was done very factually. And if you continue reading the report, many of those initial findings were corrected before even the closure of the audit phase. We do end up, though, sometimes where some of the findings are non-compliant, and will require a remediation plan that may be a week or sometimes 3 months term. So compliance requests usually, if there is a remediation, we request a full remediation plan with clear milestones of deliverables, and we put that on hold and we follow the remediation plan. When a contracted party completes the remediation of these issues, we retest them to make sure that it has been addressed. We have breached and terminated some registrars, but most of the terminations and the breach happens at the beginning for their lack of collaboration or completion to provide the information requested. So I hope that adds clarity, but please review the audit report and let me know if you have any more questions on that specific area.
Great. Thank you, Maggie. And if you could send a link to that report.
Sure.
That would be helpful. Yeah, we'd appreciate
Absolutely.
That. Are there additional questions by other members? I'm going to make sure I'm not missing any hands. I think a couple of other areas that would be useful for particularly our subtopic group to have more information on, Maggie, would be the your enforcement of the obligations of registries to provide daily data for the central zone file, CZ, I forget the acronym there. That's an important source for, especially for, you know, security researchers, and is, and there are many, having used it myself, I know there are several, have been several registries that have not been, have not met their obligations to deposit data there, so I'd be interested in the compliance department's actions on that. And then there's been a fair amount of discussion in some of the venues we've been involved in the in a few new GTLD registries in particular that have a very high percentage of abusive domain registrations. So I would also like information on what compliance, what actions compliance has taken or plans to take when it comes to these more holistic problems we're seeing in just a few new GTLD registries. I'll follow up on email since we're out of time on our call. And we really appreciate you taking the time to talk
Thank
to
you
this
for the opportunity.
Today.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I'm going to hang up. But I look forward to your email, Denise. In the meantime, I can address the first two things you sent to me, you asked of me. But I look forward to your email with the additional questions so we can respond properly.
Great. Thanks again, Maggie.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Jumping back to our agenda then. Johannesburg meeting recap and review of action items. Steph, is there a slide on this? Yes. Would one of the staff like to take us through the action items? I think recently closed and those that are expecting to close in the next couple of weeks, and noting any other action items for which staff may need additional information or are there any issues that we need to discuss.
Hi, it's Jennifer. I can definitely talk you through those. So on this slide at the moment are the open action items, and apologies, my computer is having a bit of a freak out, so I can see everything right now, but just to give you a heads up. So the first action item is from Boban, actually, and he doesn't look like he's made the call. I know he was running a little late. So he circulated a reorganization of the work items for the ICANN SSR subgroup to the list, and he's requesting if everybody could take a look at that and please share their inputs by the end of this week. That would be great. And then perhaps he'll like to revisit that on your next week call. The next item is a post-meeting blog on ICANN.org. So we've been working with Alain to draft a blog for that, and as we do with all the SSR meetings. Again, that's 19th of July that it should be published. The next couple of items are questions that came out of the session with the on the board response to terms of reference. So we're working to get responses to those for the end of this week. The support requirements and availability for SSR2 subgroups. So you'll have seen an email that I sent around earlier today regarding this. So each subgroup now has a Adobe Connect room as well as a email list. So please go ahead and start using those. And just to let you know as well, we put some times there that we can support subgroup calls. So I think the best way to do that is if, you know, you guys get together within your groups and then the rapporteur can let us know which times you'd like to have a call and we can help you set that up. I know it may be a little bit, you know, you might want to discuss that a little bit more. So 11th of July was really the action item for me to get that information to you all. The 0600 plenary call slot attendance, I know that the co-chairs have that on their agenda to discuss. That needs a little bit more thought put into it, and I'm sure you'll get an update soon on that one. I don't know. Denise, please jump in at any point if you want to interrupt me.
You're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, the tracking tool. So this was the next item was Charlotte and Larissa presented this to the review team on the Monday in Johannesburg. So the link there, this replaces the action items page that used to record all the plenary action items. It still does that. It just gives a little bit more information and kind of like a backstory to how we reach, you know, the conclusion of the action item. The link is there again, and please take a look and let us know if you have any inputs or, you know, edits to anything that's on there. The idea is to not only capture action items, but also any requests that may not necessarily kind of come out of the plenary calls. The next item is another subtopic work item that was requested by the Future Challenges group. So there is a Google document that's going around, and I'll post the link in the chat as well after this. The request was to share your concerns with Future Challenges, and I think that will help the sub-team to build out their scope of work. Follow-up questions from the SSR1 briefing. So that was, I think we can close that action item. The 7th of July has passed. So thank you all for sharing your questions for the, this came out of the SSR1 briefings that were presented in Johannesburg. We can, we have a kind of cohesive list of questions, which we'll consider and get back to you once we have the appropriate people.
Hey, Jennifer. Just mm-hmm. If I may just interject, I know that that I needed more time, and I have a couple of additional questions, and I think there's at least one other team member that did as well. So I would suggest we refer to this as the sort of first round of questions, not comprehensive, and of course, any SSR. Team member can raise any questions about the material within our scope at any time, but just to flag that I think as we delve into this deeper, we will have more questions on the material covered in the briefing, just to set expectations there. Thanks.
Sure, and thanks for the clarification. So yeah, I mean, it's a Google document, so it can be a living document. We can get started on the kind of responses to the first questions that are on there.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the next item, complete SSR1 implementation briefing. There are two outstanding briefings. So the risk management briefing is scheduled for not next week, but the week after that, which I believe is the 25th of July, and then the GDD briefing will be scheduled for the 1st of August. And then the briefings will be complete in terms of presentations. Okay, moving on to the next slide. Again, this is probably similar to the piece we just talked about in terms of questions. So this was something that came up on the first day of the meeting in Johannesburg. The team began to build out a list of questions to be sent to the CIO of ICANN, Ashwin, in preparation for holding a briefing with the review team. So again, there's a Google document on the wiki that's been circulated via email as well. So please feel free to, you know, add any more questions there. And then maybe we'll work with the co-chairs to kind of suggest a couple of time slots when the review team would like to have a briefing. The SSR review team work plan with key dates. So this is a work plan for the entire review team, not the subtopic ones. And we've got Denise, James, and Boban who all volunteered to help with that. So Denise, feel free to jump in, but I suspect that this might be something that takes some time in the coming weeks as the subtopic groups kind of we go through the deduplication and prioritization of tasks. Sorry, did you have something to add?
Nope. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. So there was some. The SSR 1 implementation. So this was an item that we discussed, I think, in Madrid about reaching out to the SSR 1 review team. And so that's an action item for Denise. Again, I think that one might come a little bit further down the line. It's TBD right now. Review non-disclosure form with ICANN Legal and report back to the review team on any updates or edits. So I know that James and Emily and Carrie-Ann have been working with ICANN Legal as well as some of the MSSI support team, and we have that scheduled for an update on the next plenary call, the 18th of July, per the discussion that we had in Johannesburg. Draft a statement of work for a specialist technical writer that's in development, and I'm sure that James and Kathy and Denise will share a draft with the review team shortly. The deadline for that, or the due date currently, is at the 25th of July. And the next one is the Trello review research collaborative tools that the review team may use that can be publicly archived. So, again, we scheduled that one for this call, but I don't see James on here, so it seems like he's delayed. So we'll have to kind of reconsider when you want to have the Trello demonstration.
Sure.
Is there anybody, does anyone have any questions or that I can answer? Alan?
Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, this action item on the SSR1 sitting on Denise's plate, is it still valid? Because now we have a sub team, we have a group, we have a rapporteur. So this action item, is it still a valid one, or if we close it?
Alan, are you referring to the draft note and summary of SSR1 implementation?
Because now the sub team on SSR1 has taken the task to work on SSR1. SSR1 recommendation. So that's why I'm trying to figure out what is this really about.
I see. Yes. So the normal practice of review teams, second round review teams, is to contact the first review team, that's the report of which we're assessing, and invite the former SSR1 review team members to share any input they may have and assessments or observations they may have of the implementation of their review. So that was just a sort of co-chair to-do item to get a brief note out to the former SSR1 review team members, letting them know that the SSR2 is underway. We're assessing the implementation of the SSR1 report and inviting them to share any input they may have. Initially, we were going to wait until all the briefings were done, since they're running on, quite a while. I think we may just get it out this month. So that's what that is, more of a housekeeping item, but an important one to make sure that if SSR1 team members have any input they'd like to share, that they're aware of our activities and have an opportunity to send in an email or, talk to the subtopic team if they want to have a dialogue.
Okay, fine.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Jennifer? Are we at the end of the action item list?
Yes, unless anyone else has any questions, that's all the updates for that.
Great. Are there any questions, any additional questions on this? I don't see any hands. I would note, just as a point of for your information, I think there are two briefings that that we've noted for future agendas. One is, and I believe someone recently shared it on the list, one briefing will be on the proposed security framework for new GTLD registries. That framework is currently posted for public comment, and so we have it on our list of future briefings to have a briefing on that and discussion by the review team. And then the second one, outstanding briefing, is on the DNS abuse study. The work has been completed, and the researchers are due to complete their final analysis this month. So when their work is wrapped up, we'll be putting that on the review team's agenda for a briefing as well. Okay. If there are no further questions or discussions regarding the action item list, we'll move on to our next, which might be a final agenda item, and that is an opportunity by the subtopic rapporteurs to provide any updates or other information to the team regarding the subtopic work. Alain, you seem to be first on the list. Is there any information on SSR 1 implementation subtopic that you'd like to share with the group?
No, I assume everybody saw the mail I sent, I think, was yesterday or this morning. So we're trying to get the team to complete the work plan, the methodology. So I'm preparing to send a lead pool for the team. Then we have a call to finalize the work item and the methodology, because I think we need to agree on how we're going to approach a review of the implementation. So, and I think from that call, we should be able now to really start on the work on this SSR1 implementation. So this is what I can say for now.
Great. Thank you for that update, Alain. Do we have Boban on the call? I think he was delayed. I don't see him on the call.
It's Jennifer. If I could just jump in. Yeah, Boban said that he may be delayed, and it looks like he is. So the only update that he shared with me earlier to give to you guys was, I mentioned that earlier, that he's written on the list. Please share your thoughts for the SSR subgroup work plan.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. We don't have Jeff on today's call regarding the broader DNS SSR issues. Is there anyone else on the team that has anything they'd like to share with the group?
For that.
Yes, this is Alain. So if I may.
Yes, please do.
Yes, I think in Johannesburg, I think this DNS security team, I think we made a great progress with the document Jeff sent to the team. So I think we have a document where we mostly agree on the main area of focus. So I think what is needed now is that the team members to review that document and and maybe a comment, or then finalize the document. I think we had a good document which can serve as base for the DNS security DNS security work. But I also said, I don't know, but said many times that we seem to have agreed that instead of mentioning DNS security, it should be DNS SSR, not DNS security, because we're so covered. So, but I think we are still carrying the name DNS security, DNS security. So, anyway.
Yes, thank you. I was thinking the same thing.
This is Eric. I'm sorry, I'm not able to join the Adobe Connect because I'm at a venue and my laptop is dead. But I want to insert myself into the queue.
Great. Hi, Eric. Welcome.
Hey.
Alan, I just want to make sure that we didn't cut you off. Are you done? Okay. Great. Thank you.
No.
Eric. No, you are?
Hey, so I've reviewed that document, and I've been sort of waiting to hear when the DNS, whatever we're going to call it, security SSR or whatever, subteam's going to meet again, because I have a rather serious set of comments and questions and things I'd like to address in that. So I wasn't so sure that was necessarily fodder for the group call. I'm happy to go through some of them now, but in general, I think that team has met the one time in Johannesburg when, unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it. So looking forward to the sub-team meeting again. I wish Jeff were here.
Great. Yes,
but,
I think.
But I have a question. This is Alan. Eric, did you see the document, Jeff, and we are okay. We produce with Jeff in Johannesburg?
Yeah, I saw the document Jeff sent out. That's actually what I'm sort of referring to. Is in there, I found that it looked to me like the careful wording that we used to define the scope of the overall review team in the terms of reference was sort of redone. And I also found that there was a number of things that seemed like they were over limiting and a couple of things that were surprisingly broad. So, I hate to sort of say it, but I think I have some sort of fundamental questions about, the direction of the sub team and wanted to sort of like open them up in front of the sub team when the appropriate time arose. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Okay, let's make sure I'm not on mute too.
Yep, I hear you. Alan, did you have any further comments? Go ahead.
I think Eric raised some important points, and what I would suggest is that we get a call maybe early next week to address this thing, because I think this is we must agree on the scope and clear all of these things. It may not be easy anyway, because even Johannesburg was not easy to get that document. It may not be easy, so the sooner we started, I think the better.
Thank you, Alan. So we'll work with
this is
staff.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Denise. I didn't mean to jump in on top of you. I just wanted to, Alan, I totally agree with you. I think that's a great goal. I just want to point out that next week is the IETF. And though I don't know if Jeff will be there, he often is, and I'll be there for part of it. So I don't know if that'll make it easier or harder to schedule, but I just want to sort of point it out to people in the event that I think we should move quickly to meet the sub team, but perhaps if we wind up missing next week, it's probably a fair mulligan. So just context, I think Ellen, that makes perfect sense what you said.
All right. Thank you. The fourth subtopic is future challenges. Oh, I'm sorry. Zarko, would you like to address the DNS SSR subtopic group, or I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Eric to send via email his thoughts about DNS security and comments that he has. So we don't have to wait until next week or when we are going to schedule our conference meeting for the subgroup.
Okay, I suppose enough suspense will have been built up between now and when I get onto a keyboard, so I don't mind giving away the surprises. Yeah, no, totally. Sorry, I didn't mean for it to be obscure. I just didn't want to monopolize people's time with my comments. But yeah, that's fine. I'll summarize them in an email with the sort of hope that we can discuss them, you know, more live as opposed to whatever. But yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great point. Thank you.
A preview, perhaps. Okay, thank you. Future challenges is the next subtopic, and unfortunately, our appointed rapporteur is not with us today. So I think we'll, I'll just note that Eric and I were the only two members of that group present in Johannesburg. We made a start at a more discrete and specific topic list for future challenges, and it's on the Google Docs, and we're inviting team members to provide their comments, additions, edits to that document. And then finally, the INI transition is our final subtopic group. James, unfortunately, is delayed. I don't know if Kathy or Eric is there any updates or additional information you'd like to provide the team? Not necessary, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. Hearing none?
I think Kathy probably would be more appropriate to comment, but I don't think there's a lot to report. So modulo anything Kathy has to say, I defer to the next call.
Oh, I see Kathy's hand. Kathy, please, go ahead.
Just real short, we had our first round of discussions with Elise and Kim, and we're back. I've got some writing to do to put together, and that's really a summary of where we are right now.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. All right. We'll continue our subtopic work on the email list. We'll defer our Trello demonstration when we have James with us, perhaps on the next call. Is there any other business people would like to raise before we conclude this call? All right, seeing no hands, thank you everyone for spending an hour with us, giving us your time. We look forward to continuing our work on the email list and hopefully talking to you all next week. And thank you, staff, as usual, for all your support. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you.